Hello, everybody. Brian Champ here, Nutrition Lifestyle Coach, with Dr. Heidi Dulé, Nutrition Specialist. So today is November 17th, 2016, and our goal today is the topic, is to discuss the topic of intermittent fasting, or as Dr. Heidi likes to say, this is where you come in, Dr. Heidi. Digestive resting.
Don't you like that better?
I do. And I use them both just because intermittent fasting has become more mainstream over this last year. I don't even know how long it's been out for. But not a lot of people know your term, but we're going to make it mainstream as soon as that book for Fears comes out, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So, but I do love it, and then we'll go into why it's more appropriately called digestive resting. And I totally agree with you. I think we'll get a lot more people listening though if we call it intermittent fasting right now. So
yes, I hear you. Yes.
So we're recording this call, and a lot of people are going to listen to this after we post it on various channels, from Facebook to my blog and your blog, hopefully, as well, and other people can share it. And please do, everybody. I think it's a really important topic, something that I have kind of been working on for a while now, ever since we talked about it a couple of years ago, and it just kind of keeps evolving. And I believe this is the most appropriate time to do it, which is why I have centered a program around it, or a 5-week challenge around it for my particular clients. We're doing this thing called the Holiday Belly Burn right now. And that is a 5-week fitness and nutrition program, with the nutrition program being an intermittent fasting model. So my goal of the call today is really for you to explain intermittent fasting, digestive resting, and to kind of talk about how this is, really a good idea during the holiday season, but also, to consider year-round, as I do, and some tweaks to that for those people that maybe can't, I don't want to say can't, or maybe those that may be hesitant in the beginning to do something like this, how to make it a little easier, and I can share my experiences with that as well. So I'm not usually the one, I don't typically do the full-on 16-hour digestive resting. I'm just going to throw that out. But I kind of added my tweaks, but I would love to talk more about that. And, just why people should do such a thing. And I just wanted to tell you one last thing was that, this could be a challenging conversation for some, because many people have been told to eat every 2 to 3 hours. And even on my material, Dr. Heidi, it's still on some of my past material. So, and the reason for that is I just haven't changed a lot of my past material because I'm focused on all my new material. So I got a lot of different, content out there, whether it's, who knows where, Facebook and old blogs and old programs. I can't even keep track of where all my stuff is now. I have to go back and change everything, but I do kind of tell people now, for the most part, general statement is don't eat every 2 to 3 hours, but eat around every 4 to 5 hours. But also, even that is not perfectly set in stone, because we have this other concept called intermittent fasting. So that's just wanted to kind of preface this conversation with that, and just let you all know that you may have read something I have wrote. I change, I'm constantly looking for better and better ways to speed up my results. I want to get, everybody I know, my family, I want everybody to have success as fast as possible. And I just learned that holding on to old things I've learned, or old beliefs, is very limiting for allowing me to be the person I want to be. And I can definitely be even more than I am now. And don't be caught up in what we say today. Even though I don't imagine it changing too much, kind of evolving backwards at some level, right? It seems like a lot of the nutrition information we have heard in the last 25 years has actually been more problematic than it has actually helped us. If we actually do go back to what our ancestors ate 10,000 years ago and what they did, we'd probably be better off. But I think we're going backwards to those folks and learning from them and not trying to reinvent the wheel so much. So with that, Dr. Heidi, let's talk about intermittent fasting and digestive resting, and you know, let's say what it is. Kind of give everybody
Absolutely.
A little background.
And Brian, you know, I really, really appreciate the kind of teacher you are, the teacher, the trainer. You're totally sincere. You're willing to say I was wrong. Very, very few people are willing to do that. In fact, I preach the same thing you did, you know, not 2 to 3 hours, but eating every 4 to 5 hours. I mean, that
Yes.
is still very much out there. And there was a rationale for that, a very good one. You know, where people thought that metabolism would go down if we didn't eat, you know, every 4 to 5 hours, you know, because the body would be hungry and therefore reduce its metabolism. But new research says or has discovered that metabolism does not go down for 3 days. So we are free to do as much intermittent fasting as we want to. You know, even the extreme kind, like fasting 24 hours, you know, 1 or 2 days a week, which I think is extreme because it's very difficult to not eat for 24 hours. So in any case, there was a big rationale. There was a really good rationale eating every 4 to 5 hours, but that has since been overturned by new research. So again, it's new research and willing to not backpedal, but say I was wrong, and the research was wrong, and now we know better, that metabolism stays firm until one has not eaten for 3 days. I mean, that's a long time. Okay, so I'm very comfortable.
And thank you for that, because we actually talked about fasting in a more detailed conversation than we're going to have today probably. And that 3 day thing is really important to remember, because, you know, because to take it a step further, a lot of people lower their calories. We're not even talking about fasting, but they go on low calorie diets, and yeah, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to do for a few days, right? But once you get to that 3 days, if you're doing too low of a calorie diet, that's when we start getting into problems, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we are slowly going towards an approach that really works well. And I can tell you the first thing I'd like to say about digestive resting, well, first of all, why I call it digestive resting is because a lot of people are put off by the word fasting. You know, even if we put the word intermittent before it, outside of our circles, Brian, your circles, your fitness circles, where everybody's wanting, you know, to lose weight and look good and be fit, people out there are scared of fasting because they, you know, either they're older, you know, and think about the going hungry in the war or whatever. But hunger is a very scary thing. I know women who remember the hunger in Germany and say, fasting, how can you ever even recommend that? So thinking about the world in general, the public at large, the word fasting is difficult, you know, to accept. And it's difficult to accept as more than just a diet, you know, a diet for a few days. You know, they'll say, okay, a few days, I'll do it a few days. But what I'm recommending here is doing digestive resting as a way of eating, as a way of life. And I can tell you, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the diet doctor. He's a Swedish doctor, an MD, who has a blog or a website. Yeah, a blog, I believe it is. He posts very frequently. And he says that he cannot maintain his body. He's gorgeous, you know, he's a hunk. And he looks really, really good. And he says he cannot maintain that body without digestive resting, intermittent fasting, because he has tried it on, you know, a ketogenic diet. He's tried it on all kinds of diet, low carb, whatever. And he says he cannot maintain his body the way he wants it to look without
digestive resting. So he rests on digestive resting, or he calls it still intermittent fasting, as his bedrock strategy to stay fit, you know, fit and without even a hint of a paunch, because he doesn't have a hint of a paunch. You know, he must be in his 30s, late 30s, early 40s maybe. But anyway, he cannot do that. And the other people that I'd like to mention are the Jaminets, you know, J-A-M-I-N-E-T, Paul and I don't remember her name. Anyway, they authored a book called The Perfect Health Diet. And they are, he's an astrophysicist and she's a scientist. And they have adopted digestive resting. They call it intermittent fasting. As an everyday strategy, everyday eating strategy, because they believe it is the best strategy for health. Never mind weight loss, but for health, in their opinion, to stave off disease. And they were, again, riddled with, you know, our contemporary diseases. They brought themselves to good health using the strategy of digestive resting. So it's a good weight loss strategy, it's a fitness strategy, and it's a health strategy. It's not just a diet, and it's a, I do it every day. You know, I do it almost 7 days a week. You know, sometimes I on cheat day, you know, I say, oh, it's cheat day, so you know, I can have whatever it is I want at 9 a.m. But you know, I really don't want it. And one thing I want to say is, it does take a transition. You can't just go boom into digestive resting and feel comfortable doing it. It's hard. It's hard at the beginning. But if you give yourself, say if you start now, and I would recommend, if this is a holiday strategy, the belly burn, the holiday belly burn, then start, if you haven't already started, start tomorrow with the digestive resting and use it as the transition. Know that it's going to be hard. Know that you're going to be hungry. But you know, in the morning or at night, whichever period you choose, you know, not to eat. Know you're going to be hungry during that time, but that being hungry is not going to last. After about 3 weeks, your body gets used to the rhythm. It likes the rhythm because that rhythm is good for it. Resting from eating is good for the body. So you, after 3 weeks, it becomes part of your life. You know, you don't want to eat. You're not hungry anymore. You know, if you're choosing to not eat in the morning, like skip breakfast, then skip breakfast. And you really don't want to have breakfast. So what I'm telling you is, it just takes a transition. So be patient with yourself and know that it's going to become really quite natural. And it's going to become a strategy that you want to follow. And will benefit from, both in weight loss, in health, and really in mental clarity. Because I can tell you that my mind is super sharp, you know, when I'm not eating, you know, during the period of digestive resting. In the morning, I can't wait to get to my work because I know that I'll be, you know, thinking and writing on all of, what is it, 8 cylinders, 12 cylinders? So point number one is, this is really not a diet. You may consider it a holiday diet for 5 weeks, but I encourage you to think beyond the 5 weeks and into making it a strategy, really a way of life like Brian has and I have. Any questions about that?
Couple things. So there's a lot that you said right now. And you know, again, going into, well, I think a lot of people may be wondering, like, why do I need to rest my digestive system, right? And I just want to kind of throw that out there, and that, you know, a lot of the issues that people present themselves with, you know, the weight gain, the whatever it is, and weight gain is one of the number one reasons why I see people, but weight gain to belly fat, to allergies, to, you know, mental, emotional issues, focus issues, you name it, you know, it's often because we just don't digest our foods well. So that's kind of the background of this, is that, you know, it takes a lot of work to digest our foods these days. And I think the old model of eating every 2 to 3 hours could possibly work, right? But the reality is most people don't do a good job eating well every 2 to 3 hours either. I mean, there's something to be said for that. I mean, I think if everybody's diet was perfectly clean, and that's just really challenging, by the way, and clean is different. You know, I hear that word, oh, clean eating, and I even wrote it out there. I write it out there more for marketing purposes because it's such a buzzword, clean. What the hell does that mean anyway? I don't often even define it because people make clean whatever they want it to be, right? Like when I was 16 and went to a nutritionist, interestingly enough, was a fat-free diet, with no fat and eating egg whites and pasteurized non-fat milk. And today, clean has a completely different definition to it, right?
Yes.
So it's rather interesting. But I think that, you know, given we don't even know what clean is to the average person, and that's something that ultimately most people need to figure out, given that, and given the massive amount of digestive stress and food allergies and all this stuff, the uniqueness of finding one's perfect diet and one's metabolic type, it is hard to be good every 2 to 3 hours. So at least by eating less often, you're less likely to screw this whole thing up. So that's another way to think about it, right? So we give that digestive system a break, and if you don't screw it up, we're probably going to lose weight and body fat and just feel a hell of a lot better and have more focus and concentration and so on. So that's another way to think about it. But just thought I'd share that. That is when Dr. Heidi says digestive resting. We're giving the digestive system a break. We're not challenging it. It's a lot of work for our bodies to break down foodstuffs and particles and genetically altered foods if we're eating those. And, even animal protein is hard to break down. And sometimes we don't have the resources, the enzymes to do that. And we're giving the body a break. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
and in fact, protein is the most difficult food to digest. It's the most complex molecule, and we are told we need to eat adequate protein. We need to eat protein 3 times a day or whatever, you know? And yet, it's the most complex molecule. So the body has to work really hard, to tear it apart. The second thing about digestive resting I'd like to encourage you to do is don't think about the resting window. Don't think about the fasting. Think about the eating window. You know, the decision to make is not when am I going to fast, it's when am I going to eat. And so, and then the number of hours that you're going to rest from eating. The number of hours that you're going to eat. And some people are a little extreme, and they say, oh, I'm going to eat for 5 hours. You know, so they're fasting for 19 hours. Those are the extreme people. Now, there are less extreme people, like Brian and myself, and we say, okay, our eating window is going to be 8 hours. So that means 16 hours of really not eating. So when is my eating window going to be? And that's a very important decision because the brain likes specificity. And if you tell your brain, okay, my eating window is going to be from 12 to 8, mine is 11 to 7, then that's what it'll be. And come 9 o'clock in the morning, or if you wake up at 6:30 in the morning, you know you're not going to eat because you've decided, given all of the factors, you know, your workout times, your family time, everything, you decide on when your eating window is going to be, and if it is 12 to 8, then you don't eat at 10 o'clock in the morning. You don't eat at 6:30 in the morning. In fact, one of Brian's clients said, but I have to work out at 6:30 in the morning, and then we have to eat, you know, after that. And so I said, then your eating window cannot be in the morning. I mean, your fasting time cannot be in the morning. That's your eating time. So eat from 7:30 to 3:30. And don't eat the rest of the time. And she was happy because she needed to get in her workout time before work. So you factor in all these things in your life, and then you decide, when is my eating window going to be? So I don't disrupt my fitness schedule. I don't disrupt my family schedule. And once you decide that, then you go for it. And that'll be, you know, consider it a rule that you cannot violate. Like if you're a Catholic, it's a sacrilege. So make it a firm rule, commit to it, and then move forward for the next 3 weeks so that you're training your body. Bodies love rhythm. You know, they love routine. So if you eat at a certain time and not eat at another time, and those times are specific, your body's going to really love you and go into that rhythm of eating, not eating, working out, being with family, etc. So think about your eating window. Decide your eating window. If you're going to start tomorrow, then decide when your eating window is going to be. And except for cheat day, don't deviate. You know, go ahead, Ryan.
So going in and out a little bit, this, I think the most challenging thing is that person you were mentioning, that person who eats, I mean, that person who works out at 5:30 a.m. or 6 o'clock a.m. in my morning classes, because it definitely becomes a little bit of a problem fitting into real life situations. So, I mean, yeah. You know, so yeah, you say, hey, don't eat past 3:30, and that's great, you know, but not realistic, honestly. So, yeah, we did tell that one woman of mine, my client, to do that, but I honestly don't know how that's going to go. I mean, it wouldn't work well for me. That's all I know. So
no, because you have to eat dinner with your family, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But for her, you see, she considered her exercise program more important than eating, you know, a regular dinner at night. I think that's what happened.
Yes. Well, I want to throw a little spin on this as well, is that, you know, ultimately we want to work out every day. We want to do some kind of movement every day. But the reality is that most people aren't going to. I mean, they're not going to work out 7 days a week. Or if they do, it's probably not going to always be at 5:30 a.m. Like on a weekend, this client is probably not going to do that, right? So what
right.
I'm thinking is, and you can kind of, you know, put your spin on this, is that I don't think this needs to be a 7-day-a-week program. Again, it can be, mind you, if it works out for you. But I think we can experiment with that as well. You know, I really think that most important is if one cheats, and you can kind of throw your spin on this. But I mean, I see you're going to do this more for probably more every day. But a lot of people, I definitely want to encourage them to do this if they cheat on Friday night. So we have this. I have this thing that I've adopted from Dr. Heidi called Anything Goes Day, which is built into our program as well. And that
Great.
Can either be it could just be a meal for some people, or it could be a whole day, right? So say it's on Friday, as Dr. Heidi has a lot of her clients do. Saturday should definitely be an intermittent fasting day. So I would say don't deviate on that one for sure, but, you know, maybe one does it twice a week. Maybe one does it three times a week. I don't think one needs to do this 7 days a week to get absolute success. And I think there's something to be said about altering it as well. You know, not always going, you know, the 14-hour window or whatever. So what do you think about that concept?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the easiest rule to break, shall we say, is the rule that says eat within an hour after you work out. Because I think that's what your client was concerned about. How could she eat? So if I were doing it, I would work out at 6:30, go to your class, and not eat. I just wouldn't eat. I mean, I would eat. I have good news for you, by the way. There are micro meals that do not interfere with digestive resting. So you don't have to eat nothing. Okay, so, but they're very small. But in any case, I wouldn't eat, you know, a regular breakfast after the workout. I would just wait till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock and forget about the benefits.
So let's hold that comment for a moment. That's a big one. So this idea that I need to eat within an hour of workout, what's your thoughts on that? That's a very common one that I even still say. You want to eat soon after your workout, but don't eat. I tell people not to eat beforehand if they're trying to lose body fat and weight.
Right, right. And you're right. You certainly don't eat, you know, at least 1 hour, if not 3 hours before working out. because your stomach, your digestive system is working hard, you know, to digest that food. And once you start exercise, it stops. So your digestion stops dead, you know, in its tracks, and that's not good. So,
So we need that focus, that energy to go towards digesting your food. So again, when people exercise, the blood flow is being diverted not to the belly and small intestine and all that stuff, large intestine, but to the working muscles. So that would definitely be a digestive nightmare. Have a steak before you work out, and you're not going to break down that protein very well. So that's a pretty clear
that's
one.
Why
but,
you know, Brian, now, that's why your 6:30 in the morning class is so good, because it's after you've been fasting, really not eating during sleep.
Yeah. Yep.
So you've been fasting for 8 hours, and then you exercise. So that's really an ideal way to go about doing things. The thing is, if you are following digestive resting, then you don't eat after exercise either, you know, until 11 or 12 o'clock or whenever, whatever time.
So any possible ramifications for that? So in terms of, I mean, the common thing is, well, I've just broke down my body. You know, my tissues have been broken down from the exercise, and now I need to rebuild them with, nutrients.
Yeah,
so that would be the argument.
You can certainly wait 3 to 5 hours to do that. You know, you don't have to rebuild them immediately. I mean, you know, what you hear is that if you eat the protein within an hour, you know, after exercising, then you make maximal use of it, you know, for the muscle. But I think that's a marginal benefit when you compare it to the benefit of intermittent fasting, you know, or digestive resting.
That's a good
so you compare the benefits. You know, it's always a cost-benefit analysis. And you can acknowledge the benefit, but it's marginal.
So now with the idea you brought up a second ago about micro meals, that could actually fit into getting a little bit of that benefit too, right?
Yes, exactly.
So how does that work exactly? So give me an example. Like, I could have protein or something like that, right? Post-workout?
You could.
Yeah.
And here's the bugaboo, though. It has to be under 50 calories. I'm not a calorie counter. But for this one, I counted the 50 because I'm a rabid, you know, digestive resting person. So
yes.
I didn't want to ruin it. You know, I didn't want to eat, you know, just because I was hungry. But so what I did is I counted the 50 calories for all these things, and I'm going to list them for you. You can have a generous pat of butter, or you can have chicken broth, or any kind of broth, beef broth, pork broth, with the fat on it, a cup of that. A cup of that usually means about a tablespoon, you know, of the fat that goes with it. If you like that sort of thing, it's highly nutritious. Broth, you know, animal bone broth, they call it bone broth now, is highly nutritious. And do not skim the fat off. Eat the fat. Okay? Or a cup of, if you're a fruit person, a cup of strawberries, although I don't think we're fruit people. But if you do eat fruits, you can eat a cup of strawberries, 3/4 of a cup of fresh pineapple, or 1/2 cup of blueberries. All of those are under 50 calories.
So on that note now, you know, I would imagine that if I personally had a small amount of pineapple, that honestly is going to trigger me to have more food. I don't know if that's a great idea. Yeah. I think you're better off not eating a lot of times, right? Then it's like sometimes I'll eat and then I'm like, oh my God, that was so good. I want more of that. And especially with sugar. That's a tough one for a lot of people, because that's going to trigger insulin
I know, but it's worth mentioning, you know, people who, the researchers that write about this stuff.
Yeah, I'd be careful about that one.
Yeah.
Personally think, from my experience and working with a lot of others, that, you know, that butter, even though it didn't sound like a great snack, would be a safer model for the average person that doesn't deal with sugar very well. And you know, I've been realizing over the last few years that, man, as we get older, you know, we just, Some people just can't even have a piece of fruit. Some people can't have even a good starchy vegetable because their insulin and pancreas is so jacked up or fatigued from the years of abuse of sugar, and it just doesn't handle the breakdown of sugar very well. It's pretty wild.
Right, exactly. In fact, that is my favorite snack, is a pat of butter.
Yeah, and sea salt, right? Sea salt on your butter, huh?
Sea salt on your butter, that's right. Raw, organic, pastured butter. Oh, dream.
Yes.
But if you like nuts, and I'm not a nut fan because nuts do have carbs, and I am very sensitive. I'm a fast metabolizer, and I'm very sensitive to carbs, so I can't eat really nuts, you know, without putting on weight.
Yes.
But
yes.
If those of you who can, you can eat 7 almonds. 7 almonds or any equivalent, you know, of any nuts or seeds, but the equivalent of the quantity that you imagine 7 almonds to be. Like I would say 4 macadamias maybe, you know, a bunch of pumpkin seeds.
Macadamia nuts have less carbs than almonds, right? I remember.
Yes, totally. They have the most fat. That's my go-to nut if I do have a nut.
That's why they're $20 a pound, right?
Yeah, really. And you have to buy organic.
Yes.
So it's very, very expensive. But it's also on the plan, but you have to count 4. Don't eat more than 4. If you're doing intermittent fasting.
Got it.
Or you can do, you know, nut or seed butter, but just 1/2 tablespoon. But don't do butter because peanut butter is not recommended.
So
or you can do a fat slice of avocado, you know, if you like that.
So how often can we do these micro meals? Is that what we call them, micro meals?
Yeah, micro meals. I call them micro snacks.
How often can we do that?
Every couple of hours.
Okay. So every couple of hours, I can have about 50 calories.
You can have about 50 calories.
Okay. Got it. So, again, this is the purer form of intermittent fasting, right? So, again, and then there's a bunch of hacks to this model, but this is based upon the research that you found and kind of the purest of the intermittent fasting world. So, to break it down, again, we're gonna go about for the most part, 8-hour window of eating, so between 12 and 8 as an example, or 11 to 7. And again, I was explaining this to somebody yesterday, and I kind of had a little epiphany. I was like, if you really think about it, this is not that much different than what I have been telling people that was kind of odd, actually, in the past. And what I mean by that is we always hear this thing being thrown out, this idea that I don't eat past 6. How many times have we all heard that? Whether it was, just on some media blast or whatever. Don't eat past 6, people have said. But they said that because they said something about your metabolism being slower at night. And I always said, oh, that's bullshit, whatever. I mean, it is slower at night. But if you, and then again, it didn't follow my rule of eating every 2 to 3 hours. So I always justify it by saying, well, if you go to bed at midnight, that makes no sense because if it's, you know, if you eat at 6, you kind of need to eat again every 2 to 3 hours. So that was kind of my rationale for eating every 2 to 3 hours. But yesterday when I was describing to somebody about this program, in fact, I'm like, if you just kind of go back to that old school model of eating and stop eating at 6, this becomes super easy, right? But you don't have breakfast, right? You have breakfast at 8 or whatever it is. Is that the right math? 10
to
6.
Yeah, you can have breakfast at 10.
You would have breakfast at 10.
You have breakfast at 10.
So really, we're not changing things that much if you really think about it. It's really not that odd anymore. Start your breakfast at 10. Stop eating at 6, but it doesn't have to be that rigid. It could be 11 to 7. It could be 12 to 8.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
Right.
So it's 8-hour window.
Any.
Yes.
8-hour window, right.
So we're resting for the math on that is 18 hours?
16 hours.
16
hours. We're resting for 16 hours. Yeah, the minimum for women is supposed to be 14 hours. That is based on the body's metabolizing food, you know, fresh food, new food, takes about 12 to 14 hours to digest all of that.
Yes.
And it takes that long for the body to start, in fact, 12 hours, it takes that long for the body to start going through body fat. And that's what we want. You know, so the recommendation has been for women, 14 hours, because we're supposed to need more food. And for men, 16 hours is the the minimum resting window. But, you know, I don't like thinking about 16 hours or 14 hours. I like thinking about the eating, my eating time. That's what I'm planning for. And so that's what I focus on. When can I eat? So I just count the 8 hours, and I know that what's left over is, you know, what I don't eat, except for these micro snacks.
Yes. So for me, you know, my kind of model of pretty much everything I do is kind of find yourself, find your way. And you know, I think we have all this information. We have research and, you know, some stuff to back this. And, you know, I think you got to take it with a grain of salt and kind of fit it into your lifestyle and find out what works for you. Play with times. So just because it works for Dr. Heidi's schedule doesn't mean, or my schedule, doesn't mean it's going to work for your schedule, because it sounds like you're going to bed around midnight or something like that. Is that normal?
I'm trying to go to bed at 10, because that's ideally when the body works the best. But I'm not succeeding yet.
Yes.
That's what I have to work on. You know, I'm getting to bed now by 11:30 or so.
Yeah.
And my goal is 10.
So for several years, I have really abused my sleep. And God, that has just destroyed me hormonally for many years and made it difficult to digest, to have the energy for my own workouts, to have clarity, and just, you know, create a lot of, you know, anxiousness and, you know, anger, because I just wasn't at my best state. And I think that's a really important one, because I think these two, you kind of, I mean, to break that down, how do you get there? You got to have structure, right? So we need to go to bed around the same time every night in order to make this work as well. But also just going to bed every night, even if you never did this program, is also going to make you just, you know, so much happier and healthier and have less suffering and just automatically lose body fat as well. But now when you tie these two together, it's just like an explosion, right? An internal metabolic explosion happens, I think.
Absolutely. Give yourself some time. Yeah, even if you're lying in bed tossing and turning at 10 o'clock, you know, you can't sleep because you're used to going to bed at midnight, just stay there. You know, pretty soon your body will get used to the idea of going to bed at 10, and you'll be sleepy by 9:30. And that's, I think, what's happening to me a little bit. And if I don't get stubborn and continue my computer work and actually prepare for bed, then I'm in good shape.
Yes. And just to add to that, I just a mindset shift on that is, for me, I've just realized that things aren't really as urgent as they seem. You know, the world isn't going to collapse tomorrow because Trump is president now. The world doesn't need my email to go out. It just doesn't matter, right? It's like, and I've been struggling with this for so long. I don't have to have my inbox emptied. The world's not going to end if I don't, you know, return that phone call exactly when I want to get back to people and all, but, you know, we've set up these really challenging things for us to feel accomplished for, and, you know, and I would not go to bed in the past until I had my list of what I felt I needed to get done, and we just, you know, got to take care of ourselves here, because, you know, we won't be able to take care of our families, and we won't be able to work if we don't take care of ourselves, so we've got to get that sleep. We've got to get control of this food. And I think, you know, this intermittent fasting program will help with that once we get over the things that are challenging our past beliefs. So I would just encourage everybody to play around. Don't get stuck. Even if you don't feel great on it right away, you may need to alter the times of eating and your sleep, and just kind of find your way through this kind of craziness of our schedules and things like that, and you'll find something that works. But just, I would say, most of all, take-home messages, don't feel like you need to eat every 2 to 3 hours. Don't feel like you need to eat breakfast. I feel personally more confident, too, about not eating right after the workout, which is something I still tell people today. That's a lot right there. And then maybe don't think you need to do this 7 days a week. I think for me too, that window, I think it's I know we have the ideal of 14 hours, 16 hours, but 10 hours could be good too if you're used to eating at 5 in the morning and every 2 to 3 hours, maybe you just, you start at 10 hours and then over the course of a week or 2 weeks, you start going to 12 hours, 14 hours. This is we got a lot of days left in our life, so it doesn't have to all be done right away as well. those tiny changes, right? You may find that just cutting out breakfast makes you feel absolutely outstanding, even though everybody told you to break the fast. So let's see what happens and go from there.
Totally, totally. And if you skip breakfast, if you stop eating by 7 at night, you see, if you go to bed at 10, then you count 3 hours for digestion. So you have to stop eating, which means you start eating at latest 6:30, because you have to stop eating by 7. Then you have 3 hours to digest your food, and you go to sleep, and then you wake up in the morning. You skip breakfast, and that works. There's your 16 hours of digestive resting and the 8-hour eating window. So I think it's not difficult. It's not difficult if you take the whole schedule into account.
It's going to be difficult if your schedule's erratic, though, and that's actually kind of my goal here, is that with all of our programs, my goal is to create structure, and with structure, freedom comes. And people actually don't equate freedom and structure together, right? But if I have structure, I plan out my meals. I don't have to go to the Whole Foods at lunchtime when it's insane and deal with all the crowds. I don't have to go, without being hungry at lunchtime and when my blood sugar levels, I can't get anything done anyway. So it's all about planning and prep, and that's the key to success with everything. Whether it's even for me, like, when I was answering every email that would come through, it was super inefficient, right? And now, I'm doing a better job. Like, I haven't even checked my email today, really.
Good for you.
What time is it? Almost 1 o'clock. I haven't checked my email. Before, as soon as I woke up, I'd be on the toilet, Dr. Heidi, checking my emails and Facebook. So,
I believe you.
It's scary, and I'm like, I have so much more freedom now that I have a structure. It's not a perfect structure, mind you. But I don't see that as being an urgent thing, and I don't want my emotional state to be affected by anything I read that early in the morning, so I don't have a chance to ground myself. It's really made such a difference. So is hard when you're in a fight or flight response constantly with our jobs, our work, our finances, just life. It's hard to create that. Yeah. So I would recommend for you folks listening to this conversation that if you just said, hey, there's no way I can do that, then you actually do need some coaching on that, and that's kind of what both of us, we can have a little coaching session at some point. Dr. Heidi does hour sessions, 30-minute sessions, I believe. So do I. So it doesn't have to be us, but somebody needs to help you find your way and figure out how you can get structure, because I know it seems difficult, but a lot of the times it's just difficult because you don't know how to do it. So, I think that's the biggest struggle on this program, is just it doesn't fit into my lifestyle, Dr. Heidi, so it can't work.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, because we all make assumptions that things have to be the way we think they have to be, and somebody from the outside can see that it doesn't have to be that way, and they ask you the right questions and scratch your head and you say, yeah, no, it doesn't have to be that way. I can, move this and move that, or not do this or not do that. But to start thinking about it, you have to have somebody that you respect, whose opinion you value, ask you those questions.
Yes.
That's what I find, you know, for my own self, you know, where I'm assuming I have to do things in a certain way, and I don't really, you know, once I start looking at it with a fresh eye. But, you know, Brian, I wanted to say something about the process. You know, the main reason digestive resting is so important for the body is also because the body goes into a process called autophagy, A-U-T-O-P-H-A-G-Y. And what does that mean? It is the body feeding on its own waste. So during the time that we're not eating, that the body is resting and it's not digesting, that means the last 2 to 4 hours of digestive resting, then the body is starting to clean up its waste. You know, it recycles proteins, it makes more material for the body to use, you know, as nutrients. It burns waste for energy, so it gives you energy. It's a cleansing process, and that is key. It's really key in our health, and that's why digestive resting is so important for health, because it cleans out the waste from our cells.
And that also is the process of ketosis, right? Is a different concept?
No. Ketosis is different. Ketosis is the is what happens when the body digests fat. It produces ketones, and when you start excreting ketones, then the body is in ketosis.
Yes, got it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a totally different process.
It can happen at the same time, but it's not necessarily you're not relying on each other. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, exactly. And they do happen at the same time, especially if you're eating a diet that we recommend, you know, not as a diet, but an eating plan, a way of eating that we recommend, which is higher in fat.
Yes.
And talking about that, one really last thing to know about how to do digestive resting is that the proponents of digestive, the researchers who are suggesting digestive resting are saying that classic digestive resting does not require any particular diet that you follow during eating time, during the eating window. And what we are saying, I think both Brian and I are saying, is eat as healthy as you can during the eating time. You know, because by definition, you know, you're eating a little less, and so you have to get certain nutrients into your body. And in order to do that, you have to eat as healthily as you can. And that is higher fat and higher good fats, meaning animal fats, sourced, you know, from happy animals. So higher fat, moderate protein, and lower carb. And that is what you do when you eat during your eating window, if you can. However, to follow strict classic digestive resting, you can eat anything you want during that time, as long as you don't eat during the fasting window.
It's perfectly clear. And I think when I first heard of intermittent fasting, it was by the fellow who developed Stop Eat, correct? And it was his name, Brad Pilon.
Yes, Brad.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 5 years ago now? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I 2011, yeah.
I think that guy, online marketing, I mean, this guy made millions on this ebook concept. And the idea, if I remember correctly, was that you can eat anything you want. And that's kind of what I even told everybody on our holiday belly burn. However, with a little caveat, he actually said you can eat anything you want. I said you can eat anything you want occasionally. preferably probably once a week cheat day. So I still don't believe you could follow, I can eat anything I want and eat genetically altered foods and, you know, crazy ingredients, and you're going to, you'll do better with intermittent fasting. So I guess if you're going to be the average American and eat whatever the hell you want, because that's kind of what the average American does, if you do it, if that is your model of living, intermittent fasting is probably the way to do it. However, to step this up, to level it up, as the new term is, level up, we can have a higher quality for ourselves, higher standard for ourselves, and actually eat those animals that have been treated humanely and avoid genetically altered foods and lower the sugar, lower the carbs, and we're going to get probably 10 times more out of what Brad Pilon originally said, that you can get eat anything you want. But,
yeah.
You know, again, rationale for the holidays is that you can cheat. You're probably going to cheat anyway. Let's have some fun, and that's always been your golden rule that Dr. Heidi even said to me. You know, it's okay. Once a week, have your anything goes days, but just
yeah.
You know, be good. And that kind of follows the old rule of, you know, 80%, you know, 80-20 rule, right? So that fits
right,
into that model.
Right.
So I think it's great.
Yeah, and you know what's important about anything goes day is that it be a specific day of the week. Because that, again, feeds into the routine idea with the body. And the body
yes.
will expect anything goes one day a week. And it'll
yes.
expect it. It'll gear up for it. But if you just
mm-hmm.
pick any day, you know, willy-nilly without routine, then the body really doesn't know what to do.
Yes. One thing I was thinking about when we were talking on how it becomes a routine before you got into the actual what to eat and things like that is what one eats at nighttime really makes this easy or not. So I think a lot of people, if they just say, I'm going to eat whatever I want, and then I'm going to do this intermittent fasting thing in the morning, that could be a challenging thing, right? And for the
yeah,
average person,
totally.
That's not following my particular guidelines. So, you know, like if someone eats, you know, a lot of sugar and carbs and or wine or whatever before they go to bed, they're most likely going to be really hungry. This program could be a lot harder than it needs to be, right? Because,
yeah,
you know,
if I
have a bunch of carbs, my sugar's going to go up, and then it's going to go down, especially 1 to 3 in the morning. There may be some night sweats and waking up, that liver and gallbladder working overtime. You wake
yeah.
up in the morning, first thing you're thinking about is, I am freaking hungry. So...
Yeah.
You can get away with that for only so long. You're going to give in and eat eventually and not be able to do this. So I think it's super important to remember that what you eat at nighttime has an influence on whether or not this is easy or not to keep doing this type of program, because it is going to definitely be changed or different based upon having a lot of protein and fat at nighttime or not. And you can get away with it, but it's going to be a lot more work and willpower. And I don't believe we need to have willpower if our blood sugar levels are balanced to the same extent.
Yeah, good point, Brian. And, you know, one thing I want to emphasize, too, is that depending on your metabolic position, you can eat heavy stuff at night without repercussions if you're a fast metabolizer, if you're at the high end of the metabolic scale. But if you're at the low end of the metabolic scale, then you cannot eat a big fat steak at night and not have problems, because your digestive system, your metabolic system is weak. It's not weak, but it's leisurely, shall we say. And that's not bad. You just have to match the food that you eat with your metabolic position. So if you know you're a light metabolizer, that is, you don't wake up hungry in the morning, you can skip meals and not, it doesn't faze you, you eat lightly, you tolerate, you know, caffeine much better than a fast metabolizer like that, then if you know that about yourself, then you'll know what to eat. You know, you can eat more carby dinners than I could eat, for example, without suffering in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And so again, if someone wants more information on that, getting more specific on the metabolic type, you can coach them on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. In
Great.
Fact, I have a questionnaire that is almost ready for the public.
Got it.
Hopefully, you know, where you can Sure. determine that easily and know
Yes.
what to eat and all of that. Yeah, it's very important to know, you know, what kind of digestive system you have, what kind of metabolic system you have, so that you can eat to it. You know, individualized nutrition is really important. You know, customized
yes.
nutrition, it's now the buzzword, but nobody knows how to do it.
Yes.
And what's recommended, again, is really way off the mark, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
Because it goes into genetic testing and all of that. You don't need all those fancy tests. test your genetic type. You just need to know how your digestive system and metabolic system function, and that can be done by simple questionnaires.
So I have two more things for you before we end this call, and I know we're running out of time here. But you kind of touched on it right there, but what is the, you know, without knowing one's metabolic type and all that, what is the general suggestion, recommendation for someone, like if they go to bed at 10 o'clock, I don't want to eat past, is it 7? Because you said 3 hours, is that what you said, 3 hours without eating, you don't want to eat?
Three hours is the minimum, and you don't want to eat your last bite after 7. Remember, that doesn't mean sitting down to dinner by 7. It means finishing dinner by 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I go to bed at 10. So you lost me on the eat the last bite and finishing part. I didn't get that.
Yeah, you go to bed at 10, and you want to have finished dinner by 7.
Okay, yeah, so 3-hour digestive rest window before I go to sleep.
Yes, and you know, I'm emphasizing this because many people think 7, it's the time that they have dinner. But that means you're eating by, you know, into 7:30, by you're still eating by 7:30. Depends what kind of a dinner you have, of course.
Yeah.
But it's having your last bite by 7. Finish.
Yes.
That's it.
Got it.
You're putting the plates away.
And I think a lot of people are like, Dan, I'm not gonna do that. You don't understand my life. I get home at 6, or my kids, you know, they don't go to bed. Whatever. I think it's just good to have that. You know, I think I would have initially been fearful of even listening to this, but now that I have been going to bed earlier, getting my shit together, basically, this is actually much easier for me to deal with. I'm just realizing now that I need way more structure than I thought. I've always been kind of this kind of fly by the seat of my pants kind of guy, but that hasn't worked. It's worked, but I convinced myself that that's how I needed to be because I was so busy and I need to help so many people and my schedule is not my schedule because I need to help others who need to help. But I now get it that I have been, you know, not good to myself and that has caused me a lot of pain. So I get that I need structure just like everybody else. So that just helps me even think, okay, if I'm going to bed at 9:30, I need to make sure, you know, we have dinner as a family at 6. You know,
yeah.
And it's good for, you know, our kids as well. I mean, our kids go to bed at 8, so they're not even getting 3 hours of, that's a whole other deal to think about them, so.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear you.
It's constant work, this whole thing about taking care of yourself.
It is.
So.
Well, Brian, the fast metabolizers are in better shape because they can go to bed, really, with a full stomach. And their digestive system is so strong that they can handle the digestion during sleep, but not for the lighter metabolizers. It's quite a difference.
It's interesting that you say that because I believe I'm a fast metabolizer, but also my constitution is a weak gut. So that is when I have all my issues around digestion, but it's mostly when I'm stressed, like my gut shuts down.
Oh, yeah.
And, a lot of people, you know, people get neck issues. I mean, I get some neck stuff too, but everybody's got their different things. But gut issues always seem to be my thing. So,
who knows? You might have a strong digestive system, but the stress weakens it.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know, constitutionally, you may have had a strong digestive system, but stress definitely weakens digestion. So the first thing to do before digestion is to work on stress management.
And that's interesting that you bring that up because I, just an interesting example of that in real life would be I was under so much stress when I first opened up my business in 2001 or so, 2000, and I was probably sleeping 3 to 4 hours a night, and I was eating I was eating like Una Mas, like salad bar, like it was salad leaves. There was no grains, but not much sugar, but I was eating so much. So many salads, I didn't ever make my own food at that time. I just remember just having constant canker sores. And And just, you know, that's a good sign of immune suppression for those that don't know.
Yeah.
And that would be another one. Canker sores and gut issues, right? And I just remember stopping the salsa on the salads, and a lot of it went away. I was like, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then I remember within a couple months, you know, I had stopped tomatoes, and then I went to Mexico. And, you know, Mexico, I'm free for the most part, you know, free of work, not thinking about it. I just remember, you know, having tons of salsa and never had a problem. And, you know, I lowered my overall stress. Okay, I really found that this tomatoes thing is, it was a problem, but it was funny how it wasn't a problem anymore when I went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So how things change, and, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah,
so,
You may also have something
stress
to do with the kind of tomatoes we have here.
So last thing I just want to throw out, because we got to get going here. But last thing was just, you know, my little tweak, or I should call it Dave Asprey's tweak of the, you know, the intermittent fast model with the addition of bulletproof coffee. Now, it goes over the 50 calorie rule because you have butter, which pat of butter, I don't know what it is, 50 to 75. Calories or so.
Yeah.
Then you got the coconut oil, another 100 calories. So we're way over the 50. So it's no longer your traditional purist intermittent fasting, but it's also still not. We're not having carbs. We're not having an insulin spike. So that's something that I do most days of the week. So I don't follow the purest form. I probably do the purest form of what you're saying, maybe once every 2 weeks, honestly. I don't do it that much. But I do the coffee. I started doing that. I was never a coffee drinker. But this formula has just done wonders. But a lot of it is that I went from basically having a smoothie when I first woke up with some fruit to cutting out the fruits with this idea of the coffee. So, but, you know, for me, I'm not going to eat. It's almost 1 o'clock. I have not eaten a meal yet. It's 1:10, but I did have my coffee earlier today. So how do you explain this amazing clarity, focus, and I'm able to keep my body fat down? I'm just measured myself the other day. I'm at 9% body fat. I really don't go up much higher on this model. I'm doing everything you say for the most part, but I am having that coffee with those fat calories. So how would you explain that, and would you recommend that to other people? I know I'm hesitant. I say, hey, try it, see if it works for you, but you know, that it does work for me, and amazingly. I don't need to work out 7 days a week. I could work out 3 days a week, I can work out four. It doesn't matter. My body fat's not determined by my workouts, as I realize now. It's how I play with these little things. So how do you explain what I'm experiencing?
Well, you
others?
Know, bulletproof, as Dave Asprey calls it, bulletproof intermittent fasting is a variation, you know, or it's based on intermittent fasting. It's not classic. It's just a difference in approach.
Mm-hmm.
It does limit the amount of food and the kind of food. You know, butter is an incredibly magical food. And in fact, there are some researchers that say butter, no matter how much you eat of it, does not interfere, you know, with intermittent fasting because of the way the body processes it.
Right.
So it's a variation that does work. You know, Asprey says sometimes he doesn't eat until 2 in the afternoon with his bulletproof intermittent fasting, and that's true. So it's butter and coconut oil or medium-chain triglycerides, you know, the MCTs that you put in the coffee, and it's not the calories, but it's the quality of the food that does not interfere, you know, with the digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of it, you know, caffeine and butter and MCT oils are not something that the digestive system needs to work on.
Yeah.
So
it's quite amazing because, and I would say one of the key things whether I do that or don't eat at all, either, I'm just amazed by the fact that I'm not thinking about food. I would say that's a big thing that I've heard from so many people over the years was that Brian's like, oh, man, I'm feeling better, but I am thinking about food all the time. And I love about whatever form of intermittent fasting you do, the purest form of this hacked, we'll call it the hacked bulletproof intermittent fasting form now, whatever you choose, it's just so much easier because you don't have to think about eating all the time. It's only a short window of food intake, which, man, who really wants to think about eating all day long? And I live my life that way, and it's pretty disturbing now that I think about it. Just, I was always hungry because I was always in the belief that I need to eat every 2-3 hours, but I was also hungry because I was eating a lot of fat-free and carbs and stuff like that. So this way of eating is so much easier, and especially if you have children and a hectic lifestyle or a CEO or a whatever venture capitalist in our area, I highly encourage you, or a busy mom. Seems like everybody's got 3-4 kids nowadays in our area. You know, this is probably the best idea for you, because it's not focused on eating all the time. So.
Holy, it's such a time saver. It really is a time saver, and it can be a money saver.
It's great. And a money saver, Not to eat as much. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So
and
very cool.
Way,
I think
Brian,
that's good, yeah.
On the bulletproof intermittent fasting, when you think of it, MCTs, they bypass the digestive system.
Okay.
They go right to the liver. So they get burned up for energy. And so in the butter, I use ghee so that there are no milk solids at all, you know, when I do the bulletproof and I do it in tea. So if you use ghee, then there are no milk solids at all. And the MCTs bypass the stomach, so the digestive system is not doing anything really to digest, which is why you can use that on an intermittent fasting model or digestive resting model. So it's really not a violation, even though it violates the calorie definition.
Yes.
It does not violate the principle of intermittent fasting or digestive resting.
Well, there you go. All right. See, I knew you'd have an answer for me to justify my coffee use.
Yeah, totally.
The ghee, too, I try it. It just doesn't taste as well. I like the butter better. It's definitely a different taste. I'll try it. I try the ghee every once in a while. I always go back to it, but it's just not the same experience.
It's not critical. It's really not critical. It's just how much of a purist you want to be.
Yes. Yeah, so that's it, everybody. So if you have any questions, definitely shoot me back an email or reply to the Facebook post when I post this on there or whatever. And if you have any questions for Dr. Heidi, also I'll have her information on there. So we are going to have next Thursday off because of our big feast. But keep in mind, gorge the hell out of yourself if you wish.
Absolutely.
But Friday, don't eat till about 3 o'clock. it's perfect timing for this call, right? So it's a great thing. And even, I was just thinking about, I'm actually going to be going on a date with Destiny in Florida soon, and I'm going to be there for 7 days. I'm going back again, and I was thinking about, all the food I need to bring, right? But here's the cool thing. Now that I'm doing intermittent fasting more often, I don't need to bring as much food. I don't need to eat as much. So much easier. So much less expensive. So excited about even, going to this event with Tony Robbins a second time in Florida, and it's crazy. We start at 9 in the morning, and we're there till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're just immersed in changing beliefs and stuff. So super excited about that.
Tony Robbins has no respect for sleep.
No, he does not. So hopefully I come back not sick this year like I was the last time. I remember having a conversation with you about, I think it was about intermittent fasting, interestingly enough, back at the end of December 2 years ago in 2014. And I was dying because I was, just destroyed my immune system from this event. But so we'll do better this time, and excited for the knowledge as always, and even again, you know, for me, I took a one key tip for me was, yeah, I don't feel like I have to eat post-workout. So that's a good one.
Yeah, and I'm excited about the people who will listen to this call or are listening to the call who will try the digestive resting, because it'll make such a difference. I'm excited that we're spreading the word about this.
Yes, very good. So until next time, so we're gonna meet next week, but we'll meet the week after. I believe that date is, but close to December, end of November. So we'll meet next time. We'll shoot offline. We'll talk offline about our next topic, Dr. Heidi.
What is the date of our next call, Brian?
It's in 2 Thursdays. I don't know the date offhand. Yes, not next week, but the week after. So, but let's touch base offline, and we'll end the call, and wish everybody a happy holiday.
All right. Thank you, and same to you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for all of your expertise, and grateful to have you on the call as always.
Oh, likewise. My pleasure.
All right, Dr. Heidi. Happy holidays to you and your family. And if anybody has any questions, always feel free to let me know. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.